From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. Ahead, a neighborhood with limited access to fresh food struggles to bridge the gap. First, though, Fort Worth school board trustees will have to regroup after the man chosen to lead the district withdrew his name as the sole finalist for superintendent. Joel D. Boyd, who's the superintendent in Santa Fe, notified the board on Saturday. Estella Chavez reports reaction to the news has been mixed.
Last month, the Fort Worth School Board was unanimous in its support for Joel D. Boyd as its top pick for superintendent. They praised his infectious energy and improvements in student achievement in New Mexico. But that support dwindled in recent days, and quickly. What happened? On Friday, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram reported that several trustees were having second thoughts about Boyd, and trustee Ann Sutherland posted on her blog that she would vote against hiring him. Parents, teachers, and some community leaders also had doubts about the 36-year-old superintendent of Santa Fe Public Schools.
Dr. Boyd deeply divided the community. Teachers didn't know much about him, but were concerned about the level of experience he had. So I think in the long run, his decision to withdraw his name is going to be the best for Fort Worth ISD.
That's Stephen Poole, executive director of United Educators Association. The group represents teachers and other public school employees in Fort Worth, Arlington, and nearby suburban districts. Poole was one of several people who spoke out against hiring Boyd at last week's school board meeting.
Student achievement was one of the biggest issues, what he was able to accomplish in the 2 years he was in Santa Fe. And the number of failing schools in New Mexico and specifically in Santa Fe was a big concern.
Sutherland wrote on her blog that after the board interviewed him, it examined his tenure in Santa Fe. She said there was tension between Boyd and teachers there and cited numerous teacher resignations. That isn't what Fort Worth Board Trustee Jacinto Ramos saw in Boyd.
Some may have been concerned with his age and experience. What I witnessed in the interview sessions was a gentleman who has a heck of a lot of passion and the know-how on a national level of how he was going to address what was going on here in Fort Worth ISD.
Ramos said he felt strongly that Boyd would be able to help close the student achievement gap in Fort Worth and work well in a diverse community. He said he was disappointed when he and the other trustees learned Saturday via email of Boyd's decision to withdraw. In a statement, Boyd said he was honored by the outpour of support in Santa Fe and that he wanted to continue efforts he had started.
I was surprised that Santa Fe was able to pull out the last-minute miracle to obtain him and to keep him in Santa Fe, and not surprised because I personally believe that he was that high of a caliber of a candidate.
On Monday, Board President Norman Robbins released a statement saying that the board is committed to working together to find a superintendent. For now, Patricia Linares will continue to serve as interim superintendent. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
Fort Worth isn't the only North Texas district that will be looking for a new leader. In Highland Park ISD, Dawson Orr announced yesterday that he would be retiring as superintendent in August, and the Plano School Board could name a lone finalist later this week. Trying to buy fresh food is an everyday challenge in some North Texas neighborhoods. Some families rely on convenience stores, which have a limited supply of groceries if there's not a proper grocery store within walking distance, or they spend hours navigating bus routes to get their shopping done. In our series, One Crisis Away, Inside a Neighborhood, residents of Jubilee Park say food shopping where they live is tricky. The Dallas neighborhood is sandwiched between Fair Park and Interstate 30. It isn't technically considered a food desert because there is a grocery store within a mile radius, but you have to cross under the highway to get to it. Resident Yolanda Weeks would love to see a large store close by.
It's really ridiculous. And if you got no car, then you pretty much have to buy from the little corner stores, knickknacks, and you're not really getting a full, complete meal as if you go to the grocery store and can actually prepare it yourself.
This evening at 6:20, find out why a lack of access to fresh food can hit a neighborhood hard and hear what community leaders hope will turn things around. Explore our digital storytelling project with photos, videos, and maps at jubilee.kera.org. If you didn't catch this yesterday, we've launched a new program on KERA 90.1. It's called Texas Standard. It's a statewide program that covers all things Texas. It's co-produced by public radio stations across the state, including KERA. We're airing Texas Standard live at 10 o'clock each weekday morning. This means the second hour of the Diane Rehm Show is moving to the evenings. You can hear it at weeknights at 8 o'clock on KERA 90.1. The first hour of Diane Rehm will continue airing live at 9 a.m. on KERA, so you can call in then, and you can still listen to the second hour live at WAMU.org. Here's an example of what you'll hear on Texas Standard each morning at 10 o'clock. Laura Rice reports on Austin's Mortified. It's part of a nationwide effort to help people confront their past and be honest.
Kendra was not at the dance. I wanted her to be, but God said no.
It's called Mortified, and it's an appropriate name.
It really is mortifying. It really is. And the first time you do it, like, it's all nerves.
Tony Napolillo got on stage in Austin recently to spill his guts to a sold-out room of strangers.
It's daunting, and then you get into it, and then you're in it with them. Like, they are on your side.
Mortified got its start in L.A., but has since expanded to 9 chapters, including one in Austin.
We have a lot of interest in Dallas and Houston, but with the podcast, and we might be having another TV show, with all of that that goes on, it's just difficult to kind of get a chapter started.
Pierce Purcelli helps put on the Austin program. He says there are Mortified books and even a documentary film. The first episode of its brand new podcast features a Texan.
I grew up in Texas, still in Texas, and around middle school years, I was straight-A student, just every stereotype you can think of. I won the middle school spelling bee.
So what's so great about sharing embarrassing moments on stage? I asked Tony Napolillo.
It's very cathartic in a sense that I am able to let go a lot of those insecurities. You don't realize you're keeping those going as an adult. And then when you just kind of give it up to the audience and they laugh with you, it's like, that's ridiculous.
Michelle Dahlenberg works with people interested in sharing their stories and being mortified.
Probably 90% of the people, 80 to 90% of the people I've worked with one-on-one over the, since 2008 have cried at some point during the process, but in a good way, in a cathartic way.
It also has a way of bringing the people on stage and the audience together.
And if we could send kids to this, it's not appropriate, but you want to teach kids, things get better. After every show that I've done, I've done this a couple of times, I usually get a guy coming up who's in his young, early 20s saying, that's me. I feel that. I have those troubles too. I have that insecurity.
Many of the stories are funny, but Pierce Purcelli says that's not the ultimate goal.
Mortified isn't just about being embarrassed. It's about being honest.
So what do you think? Would you go up on stage and read your diary?
No, I don't think I would, no.
Yes, it made me wish I had saved my journals growing up because I could relate to a lot of it.
Perhaps the biggest attraction of Mortified is that it's universal. We've all been there at some point.
It will be fun when I look back on the 20th century. I hope you, Kevin of the 20th century, do a good job fitting in. Good luck, Kevin.
The next Mortified Austin shows are in April.
That's Laura Rice reporting for the Texas Standard. It's the new radio news magazine you can hear each weekday morning at 10 on KERA 90.1. A reminder, a dense fog advisory is in effect for the listening area until 10 this morning. Otherwise, today, 40% chance for showers with a high near 62. Tonight, cloudy, a 70% chance rain with a low around 42. Now, tomorrow we have rain and possible sleet with a much cooler high near 31. And tomorrow night, it should be mostly cloudy with a chance for snow and sleet with a low around 26. It's currently 44 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.